Well, I don't feel threatened by the order, but I'm keenly aware that it's an operation that's riven with firsts. As you say, the first ever EU maritime operation conducted under the European Security and Defence Programme. It is the first EU operation that the UK has commanded and provided the operational headquarters and the bulk of that operational headquarters staff. So I think that's important. And then the fact that we are in almost uncharted territory in the number of different navies that are contributing to counter-piracy, not directly as part of Operation Atalanta, but certainly working alongside it and coordinated with it, which is quite unprecedented with having people like the Russians and the Chinese and the Indians working alongside us. So it's a great, I think, a great sense of history and an opportunity to develop the potential of this sort of interaction for the wider benefit of the security of the high seas in future.
So some of the lessons kind of learned here will be employed in the future then?
Yeah, I mean, we are experiencing one particular spike in piracy here, but piracy as a phenomenon, which many people think pretty much expired in the 18th century, and captured by Jack Sparrow, is very much alive and well in the 21st century. It had a spike in the Malacca Straits a couple of years ago, for which coordinated action between regional states had to come together to eradicate. There's evidence of it spiking now in the Gulf of Guinea off West Africa, and probably one or two other hotspots where it may well bubble up in the subsequent years. And I think what we're seeing here is the high seas becoming much more a sense of unregulated space where people are able to operate beyond the law and get away with it in a way they probably can't on land or in the much more regulated airspace. And therefore, I think what we're now seeing is a redressing of that through and the use of technology to assist in that, to be able to regulate the high seas to a much greater degree, and therefore turn back those who think they can apply their illegal trade there.
Pick up that point on the technology. Could you kind of expand on that a bit further about what you're employing? I mean, one particular aspect, obviously, is the members only kind of part of the website and using that as a kind of information point to kind of tell us what's going on so we can tell you how to protect yourself.
Yes, I think it all began with the advent of systems like AIS, which have enabled a degree of visibility of hundreds and hundreds of merchant ships transiting through the choke points of the world's oceans to a much greater degree than we ever had before. And that enables us to understand the density and level of merchant shipping traffic, and now increasingly to interrogate it and look at what is the flag state of that ship, who are the owners, what is the cargo, where is it going, how much protection is it likely to need, is it in any way a suspect vessel? And then beyond that, as you rightly say, using things like the MSC HOA website as a mechanism for merchant shipping companies to register their ship movements with Atalanta, so that we can see when and where they are and give an assessment of the vulnerability of their transit and therefore help us protect them. So it's very much a technology-based, information-led operation. And I think that's the only way in which you can translate seven warships into a million square miles and come up with a degree of prioritisation for how to apply effect.
Do people got any idea about the kind of scale of the surface area that you're involved in, really, until you kind of say that's the mainland?
And of course it isn't just seven ships, it's seven Atalanta ships plus a whole range of coalition warships, and of course the individual nations who are contributing on their own, not as part of a coordinated command structure, but very much still contributing to the deterrent effects of the Russians and the Chinese and the Indians and the Malaysians. So but when I say seven EU, it really means about 15 to 20 altogether, concentrated in the Gulf of Aden. So quite a significant hiatus of warship activity, which is clearly having a degree of deterrent effect. But in these sort of waters, it's still important to get the positioning right against where the merchant ships are and where the pirate threat areas are, to have any chance of deterring.
And you've got a an odd in the mind either or the person of a person in a little kind of boat with maybe an RPG or something up against 21st century technology, and yet it's the battle is a bit more even than that simply because of the kind of space knowledge, the local waters, etc. So,
absolutely.
what's your biggest? Yeah. What kind of helps you the most? Is it the ships themselves protecting themselves by letting you know? Is it particular piece of equipment that you've got or something?
The biggest thing we're always looking for is the generation of time.
Right.
Time in which to detect pirate attacks, time in which to deter them, and if necessary, disrupt them. We get time through a combination of better surveillance of the whole waters of our area of operations. Mm-hmm. And that has to principally come through air assets, not surface assets. Mm-hmm. So helicopters clearly flying from the ships,
yep.
And maritime patrol and reconnaissance aircraft too, because they have a much better chance from an enduring long patrol in the air, mm-hmm. to detect where pirate ships might be operating and then cue the warships onto those pirate ships. So that's the first thing. Surveillance gives us time. The other thing that gives us time is the merchant ships being able to take effective countermeasures against the pirates themselves.
Right.
Travelling at speed, aggressive manoeuvring, steps to make sure it's harder for the pirates to get on board the ships in the first place.
Okay.
And then once on board, harder to get into the citadel of the ship and,
yep.
to take the bridge and capture the master and all that. But the longer we can drag that out, the greater the chance of getting a warship or at least a helicopter on the scene,
mm-hmm.
which has been proven to have a very powerful deterrent effect.
Right.
So we're always looking to buy that time through intelligence, through surveillance,
right.
And through ship self-protective measures.
So actually having the big gun is the final bit. There's a lot of stuff in between.
Yeah. But very often we don't need to get a warship on scene, yeah. in order to stop the pirate attack. What we can't do is just rely on the warship itself detecting the pirate skiffs and,
right.
and deterring an attack, because we found again and again, particularly if the sea state is at all rough, that these pirate skiffs are so small that they neither paint on radar nor are they visible to the naked eye from,
right.
a warship at more than about 5 miles range,
right.
very often less than that, sometimes maybe only two.
Okay.
And so we just can't rely on our ability to detect them from the ships. We need to be more agile in our ability to do that.
And so 5 mile range, people not being on the ship, I mean that's bumper to bumper almost, is it? You're kind of coming up pretty quick behind them. If somebody spotted it, they're catching.
Yes, that's right. And of course, from their perspective, they don't see the warships at,
okay.
any further range than that, because they're so low in the water.
So there's no deterrent.
Yeah, so they are only deterred when they physically see a warship,
okay.
or a military helicopter. And so we have a fairly limited range at which we can achieve deterrence through warships. So we either have thousands of warships in a solid,
yeah.
room all the way down the,
yeah.
Gulf of Aden, or we have to get rather more canny about where we place them based on better surveillance and intelligence.
Okay. I know that there's not, as been put out, not an end state, but an end time for this operation, but you must have kind of goals, and obviously there's reduction in incidents take place, and the transit of food through the World Food Programme as well. How are you kind of measuring, other than what's kind of lying?
Well, the end date rather than the end state is actually quite helpful, because I think it's recognising that Atalanta can only ever make a contribution,
uh-huh.
To the reduction in piracy. In a way that naval forces in general can only make a contribution,
yep.
to the stability and eventual success of Somalia. So it would be very difficult to define an end state that you could guarantee looking like success in,
yep.
just a 12-month period.
Yeah.
So I think if we recognise that we're only making a contribution and we acknowledge that in 12 months' time there may still be a lot more to do, it means that at that stage the EU either extends the operation, evolves the operation to something else, or passes on the responsibility to another agency. Now clearly there are a whole range of people doing counter-piracy patrols in the Gulf of Aden,
yeah.
but there are specific elements of the operation, such as the protection of World Food Programme shipping, which would have to be passed to someone else if Atalanta was to cease. So we'll spend the next 6 to 9 months of the operation analysing exactly what's changing, the scale of pirate attacks,
mm-hmm.
the frequency, the intensity of pirate attacks, the relative assurance that the merchant ships feel about transiting through the Gulf of Aden, and then make a recommendation about whether to evolve, continue, or cease Atalanta. But that'll be a political decision for the EU to take at the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Pleasure.